We're in the book of John, but instead of starting in chapter 1, we're deciding to do a few different things. And one is, am I a little louder than normal? Should I bump this down a little bit, Mark? Maybe I'm not. I don't know. It seems like I'm loud. Yeah, I feel like I'm preaching to myself. I'm like, that's weird. But we decided we're going to work through the book of John several different ways. The first way is 7 times in the book of John, Jesus Christ says, I am. Of course, you remember back with Moses, when Moses is leading people out of Egypt. He says, man, what am I going to tell them, God? Like, who sent me? How are they going to believe me? He says, you tell them, I am. I am that I am sent you, you know. And so Jesus walks up on the scene, and like the first time he starts talking about it, you know, he says, I am the bread of life. And do you remember they started having issues? We seen that last week. We were in a rush a little bit last week. And they bring up Moses. Yeah, Moses, remember? Yeah, he got bread to come down from heaven. Well, first of all, Moses didn't do that. He was just a part of it. God did that. And then Jesus had to tell them, like, because they were thinking the miracle that he took the loaves and the fishes of that little boy. Jesus made more bread out of bread that was already there. They're like, well, Moses, he just came down from heaven. And Jesus says, well, I got news for you. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And then we hammered that last week. And hopefully we've seen that the world is hungry. And people labor for meat that never lasts. And we talked about that. And then Jesus said, but man, you need to labor for the meat that lasts forever. And he said, that's why I am the bread of life. And today we're going to pick up the second time, the second I am. And it says in John chapter 8, it says in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then again, over in chapter 9, it says in verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, Jesus, please, man, open our eyes. God, help me as, Lord, as your preacher. I want the words that come out of my mouth to be your words. And God, I just want to submit myself to you, humble myself before you. And I want you to take this passage, and I want you to be the one that does the communicating. So, God, thank you. I'm thankful for the book of John. And I just pray that, Lord, I pray this passage lights us up because you're the light of the world. Help us to leave this place desiring to shine light in darkness. Amen. Amen. You know, everybody says, like, you know, cell phones. It's cursing people. You know, people can't get off their phones today. Our young people are jacked up. You know, and it's funny, yesterday doing that funeral, it's amazing how many young people walk by. They can't even look me in the eyeball. I'm like, why is that? Well, their people skills are lacking a little bit, you know. So there's a lot of negative about cell phones. But I'll tell you what, let me give a big shout out to the cell phone and a big praise to the cell phone. And the main thing about the cell phone, it's not that you always have a calculator in your pocket, because I don't use that a whole lot. But let me tell you what I use a lot on my phone. It's a flashlight, man. Don't you love that feature on it? I love it, man. And sometimes I forget even. You forget and you're in the dark stumbling around like, what in the world's wrong with me? And God's like, hey, idiot, you got a flashlight in your pocket. You know, oh, I do. You know, and it works great. And so because we always find ourselves in a dark spot. You know the context of this where he says in John 8:12 that I am the light of the world? You know the context of this passage, don't you? It says, verse 3, look at verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they put her in the midst of, and they said this, verse 4. Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They caught this woman in the act of adultery. It says, and then they bring up the law of Moses. Notice they keep bringing up the law. They did this with I am the bread too. They wanted to bring up Moses and some things said about him. And, of course, this is where Jesus writes on the ground. then Jesus said, look at verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. After writing on the ground, he said, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone, you know, upon her. And so all of a sudden, is, you know, the crowd dissipates. He writes on the ground again. The crowd slowly fades away, and all that's left is just this woman. And he says in verse 12, I'm the light of the world. So here's a lady in the midst of an ugly sin, you know, definitely against God's word. But here's a group of ugly religious people that think they're better. And they're accusing. And they're wanting to make it a big deal, challenging our Savior. And I like what he says. Because I am as God, the God of Moses in the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ says, I got news for you, gal. I'm the light of the world. Light, I don't know about you, but like, we can always say, oh, it's dark, and you turn on your, you know, cell phone. Bam, oh, you got light. That's incredible, isn't it? And a lot of people are just terrified about darkness. Because in the midst of the deepest darkness, you can't see. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that. We went caving one time in this deep cave. And they're like, okay, everybody turn off your lights. And everybody turned off their lights. I mean, you just couldn't see right here. And I'm like, my gosh, can you imagine being out like that? And we've all been in darkness in place before. Kids especially just like almost naturally hate darkness. They get afraid. They want a little light on. I get it. There's a terror about the darkness. But you know, in my opinion, when I look at Scripture, equally as worse as the terror of darkness is the terror of the light. See, we're terrified of darkness because we can't see. What terrifies me about light is you can see. It's revealing. And the Bible says that about ourself. You'll see yourself when you look in the light of God's word and the perfect law of liberty. You'll see you for who you really are. You'll see the world for what it really is. That's terrifying. This is why men would choose darkness many a times over light. It's terrifying. We're in a terrifying spot today. You know, everything we hear from God's word, like we're held accountable for it. And we want to teach the Bible here, so it's like, this ain't no joke. But Jesus Christ comes down, and these religious leaders, he wants everybody to know, and especially this lady. Notice what he says next to her. He says, you know, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. She obviously has been in darkness. So it's just not a message of like, you've been caught. Because light illuminates. And it will catch you. It always does. But he says, then he that followeth me, guess what? You won't walk in darkness because he is the light. See, the light is similar to the bread. The light of the world is a person. Right? And, you know, in the beginning of the Bible, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, matter of fact, make your way to Genesis. There's some great teaching here in Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there was nothing, darkness was present. And we know, a lot of us that have studied the Bible would think, man, there is something that happened between these two verses, for sure, in the fall of Lucifer in verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The first words God speaks, the spoken word of God turns on the light. Do you see it? And by the way, everybody reads this and immediately you assume that's the sun. This is not the sun. And matter of fact, the sun comes around on day 4, if you go down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. There's our sun. The lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. So when we're back in Genesis 1 in verse 3 and he says, let there be light. This is not the sun. It's not the sun like we see in the sky, the burning bright star that illuminates the planet and rules the day and gives us heat. It's something spiritual. You see, God unfolds this story with just like, you know, God's a storyteller. So every story that unfolds, you need like the characters, right? So you always need like a hero, and you're going to have a villain. And he sets these things up right at the very beginning. And God said there was already darkness present because there was the fall of Satan. He drew a third of the stars between verses 1 and 2. Then you get to verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And God saw the light in verse 4, that it was what? Good. God divided the light from the darkness. There had to be a distinction. God called the light, capital D, day. You'll find this at the end of your New Testament where he calls Jesus Christ the day star that will arise in your heart. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So guys, I want you to know this first light that God says, let there be light, would definitely be the representation. It's good. This light that he creates unfolds and he brings Jesus Christ on the scene because he is the light of the world. And then there's already darkness there. So as the story unfolds, the cool part about the story is that God, what he always does first, because you start seeing the physical things and the physical sun and all that unfold later. But notice he starts with the spiritual. Do you see it? This is the spiritual. At the beginning of Genesis. Before God ever restores physical things, he'll set the spiritual in order. The priority is always the spiritual. We are redeemed spiritually long before we get resurrected physically. Right? Right, Pastor. If you take your Bibles and go to the end near Revelation, you hit the book of 1 John. And in 1 John, he says this, 1 John chapter 1. Well, let's start it in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're lying. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And by the way, we know that when we talk about this light, he's not talking about the sunlight. S-U-N, not the sunlight. He's talking about the Son of God, S-O-N, the sunlight. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the person of light. We find it at the beginning of our Bible, and now we find it when Jesus enters planet Earth. They're squabbling, sin's taken over, religious leaders are judging and accusing, another lady's caught in the middle of a mess, and Jesus stands in the midst of it all and says, I am the light of the world. And guess what? Just like at the beginning, you follow me, you'll no longer walk in darkness. He makes that distinct separation once again. I love it. I love, even if you think about it, when Jesus was being, his birth was being announced, the shepherds are out in the field. You know what scared the bejeebers out of them, wasn't it? Don't you? This bright light in the midst of darkness, they just got the stars, and also the angelic host came down, but it said a bright light, like representing the glory of God, come down, and these guys are blinding. The blinding light that knocks the apostle Paul, which was Saul, knocked him off his horse as he was on his way to do some business, right? God shines a light, busts him off his horse. I mean, light, a blinding light. This would represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, so here's something pretty cool about light in the Bible. We just read in 1 John 1, 5, God is what? Light. God is light. That's who he is. He illuminates. You can do a lot of things with light. If you study the sun, you're going to find three different kind of rays there. And you're like, wow, that's incredible. God is light. Of course, Jesus Christ is saying here in John 8:12, he is the light. He's the light of the world. You'll find with Jesus Christ being the light, you know, Jesus Christ is the physical manifestation of God. Jesus and God are one. But Jesus Christ, the physical manifestation, in Malachi chapter 4, it says one day, be paying attention, because the Son of Righteousness, but when it talks about the Son of Righteousness, if you, well, you know, it's easy to get to. Let's just go there. It's the very last book of your Old Testament. So find the book of Matthew in your New Testament and just go backwards a little bit in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. See verse 2? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. Yeah, see, he pictures the Son. In Revelation, it says when John looks in the throne room, and it talks about like the Godhead, and it says, man, his countenance was as the sun. And I just had an eye exam here a month ago, and they did the thing where they did everything. You know, like I've been to eye exams before, and I'm like, whatever. You know, and I go outside, and Becky's like, man, did they give you a sunglass? I'm like, no. Well, they must not have done everything then. Well, they dilated me, did all that kind of business. I walked outside, and they're like, hey, do you need some sunglasses? I'm like, no, I'll be all right. And she said, no, take these. And they give me them little cool movie theater sunglasses, you know. And so, man, I hit the door, and it had just snowed the day before. So it was not only sun shining, there was white snow everywhere. I opened up the door, and I thought, oh, my gosh. Like, it was blinding. It was literally blinding. And I had to put those things on. I'm like, now I understand what she was talking about. You know, Jesus Christ. So God is light. Jesus Christ is the light. Matter of fact, in Revelation 21, you know what it says? Check this out. Revelation 21, 23. It says, the day is coming when there'll be no need for the sun, S-U-N. Why? Because the Lamb is the light. You won't need the sun. You ever watch any of those shows about Alaska, like those fishing shows, or somebody's up in the mountains up there surviving in these cold, cold weather? What's crazy about it is there's times in Alaska where there's certain seasons where they just get this much light per day, like freak you out. They say the amount of alcoholics up there is huge too. And I think it is because it's dark. You get this little window of darkness. People are like, yep, got a couple hours for a few weeks here of light. And that's all you get in the rest of the time. It's darkness, you know. Wow, what would the planet do? That's why in the tribulation period, one of the things the Bible says that when God's going to do it the way that the sun and the moon will turn to blood and it's going to be just pitch dark on planet Earth. People are going to poop their pants is what's going to happen. The world is going to be freaked out. Jesus is the light of the world. Take him out of the equation, and you know what? If God is light, take him out of the equation, what do you got? It's dark. You know, one of the number one anxieties right now that are plaguing people would be leaning towards mental health stuff. It's always the anxiety, the depression. And you know, people describe it as, they always describe it as, my gosh, it's dark. I'm just dark. They're telling the truth. We want to tell them to go see a counselor and take a pill. The real key is, do they know the light of the world? Have they met him? Has Jesus illuminated? And sometimes it's terrifying. I don't know about you, but when I came out of darkness, I met Jesus Christ. He shined his light into my life. It was a beautiful thing. It changed me. It changed me completely. But it's also very exposing, and it became terrifying because there was things you never recognized before. You know, thinking you're a pretty good person or a pretty good guy, and God illuminates and you realize, that's just what I thought. Now that this light is on me, you know? It's the same reason most people don't like the scale. You don't like the mirror. Because those things are just really revealing. They tell the truth. And I got a scale in my basement I get onto sometimes, once every couple years. And when I get on the thing, I love it because you can't see it. It's digital. I got to flick on the light, and it just tells me, this is who you are. You know. And I know people like to sing the songs and just like, hey, this is me. You know, and they like to say that stuff, like, this is me. Like that's a positive thing. If you're a lady and you have a beard, don't sing that song. That's not good, man. You should not have a beard. It's not cool, you know. Men can have a beard. Women shouldn't have a beard. I buried a grandma that had a red beard. It's embarrassing. I literally haven't seen her in 2 years. And we go in the home, and my mom walks in. And the first thing out of my mom, I hear it. My mom's like, oh, Mom, you need to shave. You know, I'm like, great. Grandma. And she stood up by the bed, and she's like, this is me. You know, she's, I'm like, no, it's not good. The large bearded lady that has a beard, she needs to lose weight and shave the beard hair. That's proper, right? But as Christians, instead of being confident about that, you see God's word and the light illuminates, and I get on the scale and flick on the light, and I'm like, this is me. And then I weigh myself, like, that's the best thing to do. Just like, my gosh, I'm 50 pounds down this morning. God is light. Jesus is light. The word of God illuminates. This is, you know, the mind of Christ. The Bible says over and over again that God's word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It illuminates my path. To take your path without God's word is to walk in darkness. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, man. He is like provided. God is light. Jesus is light. He tells us his word is light. And did you know the Holy Spirit of God, what he's known for? Illumination. The Spirit of God shows us truth, because we can't see truth. We tend to see things the way we want to. You know, that's what makes marketing so dangerous, right? Because perceived truth is truth. If you can just sell people on that, they'll jump on it every time, not even maybe knowing what's up. But if the Spirit of God, like you and me, dwells inside of you and me, he illuminates the pages of this book, right? So we got God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. All of their character traits come under this one. They light things up. And Jesus Christ, whether you're a religious person in this room that think you're better than everybody else, or you're the lady or guy that's in adultery. You know, I would tell you this, no judgment here. But he's the light of the world, and he will expose you. He has every right in the world to put that judgment on you, not me, right? Notice what he says next. Short verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now check this out. We know that once you're exposed to the light of the world, if you follow the light, you'll not walk in darkness. You'll have illumination. You'll have clarity, all of those things. But notice what he does. He does the same thing that happened in Genesis. There's darkness on the face of the deep, and he says, we got to do something here. He says, let there be light. And then light came in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, my friends, there's a division. There is a separation. There's light, and there's darkness. I love it. I love the day star, right? So check this out. If you're back in Genesis 5 or Genesis 1, like I like verse 5 kind of clarifies this, where he says, and God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and then he says this, and the evening and the morning were the first day. What God used the light for was, it was a clear, the purpose of it was to distinguish the day from the night. It was to distinguish from the darkness in the light. There's a distinct difference between good and evil. Now, we live in a time where the prophet cries out and says, we live in a time where what is good men call evil, and what is evil men call good. That's where we live today. It's confusing, but me and you are biblical people. Or some people just say, you're just old-fashioned. Well, I guess. If this is old-fashioned, sometimes I like it. I'm not, you know, I hate the word religion, even though there is a context where it's decent in the Bible. But, you know, that old song, my grandma listened to old gospel quartets. But they get up and sing, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, man. Now that I'm 53 years old and I've been preaching for many years, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot through time. Seen a lot of people come and go. And you know what? It's funny. I lean towards saying, I'll take that old-fashioned book. Give me that old-time religion, because guess what? The new is not working. What's progressive is taking us to a bad spot. You know why? Because we're getting further away from the light. It tells the truth, and people don't like that. And guys, honestly, it's terrifying. You know what I want to do next week? There's some commercials that played during the Super Bowl this year. It's a campaign that's been going on for 2 years now, funded by some wealthy Christian men and women, some Christian businesses, and they decide that they want Jesus Christ to look really, really good, because people think bad of the church. So the campaign is called He Gets Us. It's so deceptive. You know, next week I'll play one of them for you that appeared during the Super Bowl. And then I'll take it and show you from the Bible. Because your first thought is just like, Jesus is in the Super Bowl. This is awesome. And them commercials are like a 1.7 million, like for this amount. But in behind it, you're going to find something. So if you illuminate light on it, you'll be like, oh, I see what it is. You know what it is? What people are trying to do, they want the world to think, you know, good of the church and good of Jesus. Well, guys, remember the first round, they killed him. Do you remember that? You know why? He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. I remember as a kid opening the bathroom doors. This bathroom door was cracked open at my grandma's house, and my uncles were in there. I was curious because I liked my uncles. They drove cool cars and cool trucks. I kicked open that door, man, and they got the lighter underneath the spoon. I walked in, they're like, get out of here! Get out. They just got caught. I didn't know what I was seeing, so I went out and announced it. What in the world's going on in there, you know? And cooking in the bathroom, you know? But what it was is it was light. It was like the exposure. And this is exactly what God's Word does. And it's terrifying. Because you'll look at something and say, isn't that nice? Do you know what's behind that? Do you know what started that? And then you see God's Word and you're just like, I'm telling you, it gets depressing. You'll walk away and be like, sometimes it's just better. It's almost like to be naive and just say, well, at least they're in church, you know. Well, what kind of church? Is it a biblical church? And we start going to God's Word and you're just like, and then, you know, I like what Ecclesiastes says, the wisest man that ever lived. He just said, you know, the more I get wisdom, he says, with much wisdom comes much grief. Like you'd think with much wisdom, you'd be like, oh, isn't this great? No, because it illuminates and shows the truth. It's difficult to get in God's Word every day, but let me tell you what I love about it, gang. It'll make the distinction for you. It'll give you dark and light. We need it. People that won't do that don't see. People that live life with good morality and think it's good Christianity, you are totally fooling yourself. Because it's not. The devil can be super incredibly moral. Matter of fact, he makes the best song leader, writes the best music, pastors some of the biggest and the brightest churches. Matter of fact, Paul said, what's so deceptive about him is he's not going to come to you as darkness and say, here, leave your spouse. Develop this habit in your life. He don't usually work that way. The Bible says he will come as an angel of light. It's deceptive, and people then swallow it and buy into it, you know. So the cool thing here is he distinguishes day from the night, and Jesus says here, I'm the light of the world, but he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. What you follow, that's how you walk, right? So to walk in the light, we should be a people of light. We read 1 John already. It says God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. Hebrews chapter 7, 26 makes it distinguish. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he's separate from sinners. This is the thing we struggle with as believers. You just want to somehow paint Christianity as cool. Let's fill the church up next week, right? Get more donuts. Somebody get some Casey's pizzas in this place so we can fill the church up. Is that what it's about, filling the church up? I mean, it's easy to fill a building. There's all kinds of ways to do that. But the Bible says there's got to be a distinct difference between dark and light, right? Between sinner and saint, there's got to be a difference. We read a book years ago as a church. We did a study on Sunday night, and the book was just simply called Weird. And I really kind of enjoyed it because it just showed when you read through it how Christians, you just want to go, and I want everybody to think I'm the nice guy. You know, oh, he's a pastor, great guy. That guy there, good neighbor. Right? People just think all these wonderful things about me. And yet, standing on truth, being a man that's going to be the light, being a girl that's going to be the light, it's going to put you in a bad spot. Because you know what it does? It'll clearly separate darkness and light. That's what we don't like. But we've been called to be different. We've been called to be Weird. Laurel turned 13 Saturday. I asked her this morning, I said, you know what 13 means, don't you? And she goes, yeah. She goes, it's rebellion. I said, Laurel, rebel against the world. Rebel against everything that's coming after you. You're going to be different. And she was boldly saying, yeah. I think she's planning on doing that. And she's just 13. The problem is us 53-year-olds struggle with it. Because I want everybody to like me. You know, light has a place. All through Scripture, light has a place. What place does light have? Where does light belong? Anybody? Well, Genesis. God says, let there be light. Because it needed to be, that was the place. What was the place? Huh? Darkness. That's where light belongs. That's why some of us, it's funny. I'll show you here at the end. We're going to end this day. Some of us have too many Christian friends. The light that you have belongs in darkness. Now, some of you, you have too many friends that are not saved. And you tend to want to join them. And there's a fine balance there, you know, because we need to shine the light. The place for light is darkness, and do not be afraid of it. I remember leading a guy to Christ one time because he was playing in a bar. He said, dude, I'm playing in a bar. I wanted this guy to know me. I like him. I like music. And I showed him. He goes, I can't believe a pastor's in a bar. And I was like, well, I'm not in here getting trashed. You know, that ain't the point. I'm here for souls. I'm here to illuminate a light in the midst of darkness. And by the way, it was like two Tuesdays after that I got to lead this guy to Christ. In Luke 15, there's that story of the lady that lost a coin in her house. She's like, I got to find this coin. How do you find the lost coin? There's only one way to do it. She lit a candle. She lit a candle. She caught a flame. And then she found the coin. But she was not going to find it in the dark, groping in the darkness. It's sad. I'm watching my dog do this all the time. I open up the door for my dog. He's about 95 blind now, I think. Open the door for him to come in the side door. And he's over here like 3 foot. Just looking at the siding, just waiting for me to open up the siding. I'm like, hey, knucklehead, I'm over here. I'm like, his hearing must be going bad too, because I'm doing all kinds of stuff. You know, hey, come this way, you know, and he'll make his way in. And sometimes the worst thing is I open up the first door to let him out sometimes. And, you know, it's not bad running into a door unless it's sideways. Oh, my gosh. Si never cries or yipes, but I hate it. Like, he'll just be like, beep. He'll just give a real quick, and I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. That's painful. It's painful to watch somebody grope in darkness. You know, they don't know what they're doing, you know. It's terrifying. But we shine light to find lost things. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Gang, I want to just encourage you today. Where's the difference? Quit trying to be cool and hang with the same people. I want all of them to think I'm all right. That's not the key to leading them out of darkness. Don't get caught up into that, because I do. I do sometimes, the coolness, you know. So God's best work is always done in darkness, always. Look at it in the Bible. I even like you see some of the miracles of Paul and them in prison. It's in the dark, in the midnight hour, and they're in there. They just start singing. Why? Light. They're illuminating the darkness, and all of a sudden the chains fall off, right? God even says when he comes in, I like what he says to Egypt. He's like, I will come in midnight. And I will smite all. I just like God, like, yeah. And you know, he's going to smite them with? He will blind them with light, man. It's coming in, man. So we see it all through the scriptures, you know. And so the beautiful part, so I want you to see the difference. Jesus is the light of the world. We see the Trinity. But he says, but shall have the light of life. So light is life. Darkness is death. Right? A picture of sin, but yet Jesus comes along and brings illumination. And then we also read that passage in John 9:5 where he says, hey, I love this because he says in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, he's not here now. Is he? He says he's the light of the world. In John 9:5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So the world has no light now. True? No, because if you know Jesus Christ, He lives in you. And He says, you are now the body of Christ. Yang, I don't know if you realize this or not. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. That's what the Bible says. We are called over and over again children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are the light of the world, called the children of light. I love it, love it, love it. Because I'm the body of Christ and I've got the light inside of me. So what we do is Satan blinds people. He wants people in darkness. We illuminate people by giving them the gospel. And by the way, the gospel means good news. People all the time say this, like, I don't watch the news anymore. It's depressing. It's on just bad stuff. I don't even watch it anymore because I tend to get all carried away and it makes me depressed, you know. You wouldn't be so depressed if you would make it your life's ambition of spreading good news. I was a paper boy for years, man. Throw it on the porch. Throw it on people's porch. That was my job. Take the news and put it on the porch. I was a kid. I couldn't even drive, man. Like, I'm pedaling a shopping cart around. When it was raining, I'd put the papers in bags so people could read it. And I'd throw it on the porch. Some people, you had to put it in their holder. But a lot of them just toss it up on the porch. I delivered the news. Unfortunately, I spent my young teenage careers delivering bad news. Then in high school, I met Christ. I caught a flame. I've never been the same. And since then, I've made it my life ambition of delivering good news, to put it on people's porches. This week, man, boy, it touched my heart. I don't know if it touched you guys when you read the church reading, and he just says, it's my job, it's my goal to make known the mystery. See, most people are in darkness. They can't see. People suck at so many things in this life, and let me tell you why. They're trying to do it in darkness. There's a story that I've heard from some people in this church of a gal that's trying to raise a kid, and she's blind. Kind of a special needs type of situation. And so, I mean, think about all the things you do as a parent. You know, your kid's dirty. You're like, how'd you get that on your face, Junior? You know. Or I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm just like, something stinks. And so what do you do as a good parent? Well, what I always did was, hey, Becky. No, I didn't. I tried not to do that. I did my part. You know what you do? You just grab the back trunk and you just open it up. Yep, that's it. What do you do when you're blind? You just got to trust the feel. That's exactly what she does. Like, oh, for sure. You know, like, man, I'm glad I didn't step in that. That feels like, yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? So, guys, I want to tell you here that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus left the world, he said, here's what I'm going to do is put myself inside of you in the form of the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. He puts a live spirit in you and me. And so all of a sudden, now we become the light of the world. So to let everybody know, we are not the sun. We're like John the Baptist. Remember him? He's bearing witness of that. He's like, I'm not the light. I just bear witness of it. And by the way, it started off in Genesis chapter 1. If you'll read in between those two verses and go to the old prophets and read what they wrote about this story, this is exactly what Lucifer did. God is light. And he just bore witness of that light. He would shine the light. But the moment he himself wanted to be the light, he became the devil and got kicked out of heaven. It's a slippery slope, man. John the Baptist came on the scene. Everyone wanted to, like, worship him, this great prophet. And he's just like, hey, I'm here to bear witness of the light. He's the light. I'm just shining it. And you know what me and you, our job is? Like the book of Psalms says, hey, let's magnify the Lord. See, the light's him. If God can use me just to brighten this thing, to megaphone it a little bit louder, then that's my task. That's our task. So we are not the sun, but you and me would be the moon. We would be the moon because the moon does nothing but reflect the light of the sun. A moon has no light of its own. You know, Job 25 and verse 5 says, it shineth not. The moon is like, people say, that's a dead star, man. Well, at nighttime, Genesis said, that dead star rules the night. We live in the nighttime and it's dark outside, but there's a bright light in the sky. But it's a light that's a reflection of a greater light. We, my friends, are the moon. Genesis 1:16 says it's the moon that rules the night. You know in Song of Solomon, he's looking at his beautiful lady. If you read Song of Solomon, it's this love story. He looks at his lady in Song of Solomon chapter 6, and he says in verse 10, he goes, man, you're as fair as the moon. You're as beautiful as the moon. I don't know about you. The first time I got a hold of a good set of binoculars, I go out at nighttime, and I looked up at the moon. I mean, it's this bright, flaming ball in the sky, man. I was just like, let me check it out. Just with a good set of binoculars, I literally looked up and I was just like, ah! There's holes everywhere up there. There's craters. If you get a telescope and look up, you'll be amazed. But guess what? The craters never show because the light of the sun illuminates it and it covers up all these imperfections and holes. My friends, we are the moon. If you get up close to my life, you'd say, he looks like Swiss cheese. He stinks and there's holes all in him until you shine the sun on my life. And then I'll reflect that light. Sun hides imperfections. I love the light, don't you? Jesus is the light of the world. I just want to reflect that light. And guys, this is a tough task, man. It's hard because as I want to illuminate the light to the world, that light shines upon me, my behaviors, my little things that just ain't quite right. The scale, naked in front of the mirror. It don't look so good. But then the light of the sun hits my life, and people just say, wow. That's what Becky quotes the Song of Solomon to me late at nighttime. She says, my gosh, you're fair as the moon. Right? I'm just like, oh, yeah? And then I flick on the light. She goes, oh, my gosh, turn it off. You know? You know, something that happens several times a year is like a solar, you know what a solar eclipse is? A solar eclipse is when, you know, you have the earth here and you get the sun here. And a solar eclipse will take place as things start moving around and the moon will get caught between the sun and the earth. Because what the earth needs is the sun, right? Moon rules the night with no light of its own. That's you and me. We're not the source of the strength and the power and the light. We just reflect him. So what happens sometimes is the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is trying to come to a dark world. And sometimes the moon comes in between. And people don't see that light. It actually becomes dark. You know what this is? This is a Christian that obscures people from seeing the sun. It's a fleshly Christian. We're living in our flesh, and people never see Jesus because I just want people to think I'm all right. I get between. Now, the lunar eclipse is where basically the sun, it's where the moon goes dark because it's a time where it don't happen very often. But when it does, is you got the sun, and the earth gets between the sun and the moon, so it can't reflect. So a lunar eclipse would be a beautiful picture of when the sun's trying to shine on our life and we reflect Jesus, but we're too much close to the world and it gets between and there's no light. That's a worldly Christian. I'm too much like the earth, and therefore it's darkness. I'm no good. Both of those eclipses show us some beautiful pictures of a fleshly Christian or a worldly Christian. But guys, if we can focus our light, if we could just reflect the light of the sun, man, you can burn holes in things, man, right? You can burn insects on fire, can't you? You ever done that? It's fun, isn't it? Am I the only guy that likes to do that type of stuff? But it's the light of the gospel. We shine our lights in a dark world, the Bible says. And we know all these verses, so I'm not going to go over and over. I loved Terry this week. He said right in front of everybody, funeral home, the sisters, the whole family. He's like, no, I want preacher Mike to do it. He goes, because I know he'll preach the word. He'll preach the gospel. He said right in front of him, half of them not knowing the gospel. He's like, he'll preach the gospel. I'll put him up there. I love Jason Cook going to his family, walking in with the Bible, and walking in just saying, hey, I got something to do. I got something to say. You don't have to listen, but I need to make sure of this. It's beautiful. You know what it is? It's beautiful examples of this. As long as he is in the world, he says, I am going to be the light of the world. I'm going to shine the light of the world like the moon. As long as I'm here. I got this great story to tell. I've told it before, but I was in the Philippine Islands. I'm in the Philippine Islands. They asked me to preach at this church at nighttime. So I'm preaching to this church. It was a weird church because the pulpit was like here, and around it was this like banister. So it was round, a big round platform about 6 feet in width. So I could move a little bit, but there was these railings. So I'm up there preaching. Like this choir they used to have is here. There's a whole congregation here, and there's seating here. So almost all around you, there's a reason why it was round. It was just like, how you guys doing back there, you know? And so it was crazy. I got to preach in this thing. There was a couple hundred people. And it was a strange church. Everybody had to take off their shoes. And I thought that was out of respect. It wasn't out of respect. They had a rainy season. Everybody come in with their muddy shoes, and nobody wanted to clean up the church. So the pastor said, everybody, come up here. Your shoes go outside. So all 200 people take their shoes off. And he goes, and now you can clean the church floor with your socks. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's rough, you know. I'm up here preaching, and all of a sudden they had a power out in the city, of that end of the city in Manila. The power completely went out. And it was one of those out, everything goes out. And I'm literally like, I couldn't see my hand in front of, and everybody gasped like it was, and it's dark. And I'm up here, and I was like, can't see my Bible or notes, but I knew my message. And so I remember I said, and I had a couple guys in the church with me. That was kind of cool too. And I just said, and the microphone power was all, and I was like, can you hear me? And everybody said, yes. And I said, then I'll preach in the dark. And the place erupted in applause. I got to preach for just probably a few minutes. I don't know how long it was. I'd like to say I preached for 20 minutes in the darkness, but it was just a few minutes. But you know what their system was? They had no backup generators or nothing. One guy in the back lit a candle. And he walked it up. And in a pitch dark room, that dude, it illuminated the whole place. He came up, and it was just the coolest thing, because on the wooden pulpit I was at, he dripped some wax, stuck that candle, it dried. He goes, there you go, Pastor. And then I had this light to preach. But the cool part was preaching in the darkness. Before it was over, they ran around and they had other candles lit, so leaders of the church stood around with candles. So it was a you know how we did the candlelight service? It's just beautiful. And we're all sitting around, everybody's got candles lit. And you know the biggest problem with it was? We are the church of the living God. That light was supposed to be outside of the building. They were all sitting there proud of their, you know, and that's when I had to shave all this. Christian men don't have beards and mustaches. So we had to shave all of our facial hair. I didn't realize I had two double chins until I shaved this. It was like embarrassing. But we all shaved our facial hair and went over there. And I remember talking, like, why do we have to do this now? And they're like, well, Christian men don't have facial hair. And I was like, guys, they plucked the beard of Jesus, meaning Jesus had facial hair. They just looked at me. I mean, I don't want my facial hair plucked out, but Jesus said, well, what in God's name are you coming up with this stuff for, you know? The light. You know, there's a crazy story. I'll close with this story. This happened back in 1995. There's the SS Lima. It's a British merchant vessel. It sailed the waters of northwestern Indian Ocean. So it's in the Indian Ocean. They're floating along, and the seas beneath them in the middle of the night started to glow. And it started to glow, and they were like, what? So on a clear, moonless night, 150 miles east of the Somalian coast, a whitish glow was observed on the horizon. After 15 minutes of steaming, the ship was completely surrounded by a sea of this milky white, but like, it was illuminating in the water. And everybody's like, what? It's like we are in snow all of a sudden. It's crazy. Well, then people started telling stories. This is not folklore. What they discovered was there's a massive swarm of bioluminescent bacteria, and it feeds on the large population of algae. You know, bacteria is microscopic. You don't see bacteria. But somehow, in the ocean, when all these small little bacteria came together, tiny, tiny creatures couldn't be seen with the naked eye. They started eating on the algae in the water. And they say it formed a crazy, like a luminescent light, almost glowing, that could be seen in orbit from 600 miles away. Man, I read that story and I thought, God, that's us. That's the church. We're the body of Christ. And like my life might be, you know, most people would probably say, yeah, bacteria is a good picture of your life, pal. But all of a sudden, this whole thing that happens when I come together, my little microscopic life, but all of a sudden when I join in with you, and you know what we become? We become a powerhouse. It illuminates so much that people are freaked out. What in God's name is this? And it ain't pretty, talking bacteria and algae. But it is a beautiful picture, I think, of the church coming together. And all of a sudden, because of that, because of the great cause, we are able to cause illumination that can be seen for miles. This is the church. As long as we are in the world, we're the light of the world. I guess I'd have one question for you today. How are you illuminating the dark world you live in? Answer that question right now in your heart. How are you shining the light? And don't think it's just because you're a good girl or a good guy. There's darkness all around you, and we know what darkness is. It's clearly evil in the Bible. Some of you, has there been a lunar eclipse in your life? Are you just a little too worldly? You're too caught up in everything they do? They don't see no distinct difference. Maybe a solar eclipse. Maybe it's like, my gosh, I'm just a little too fleshly. I don't know. And therefore, when I behave this way, people don't see the light. And guys, as much as scary and terrifying the light is, it is what saves people. The Bible says that God chooses, he calls it this, the foolishness of preaching to save those that don't believe. Why does he call it foolishness? Man, in a dark world, we are going to be distinctly different. We're going to be different. It's funny, you know, people always talk, especially young people. Young people always want to have different music, do different styles. They want to go contrary to like the majority of the culture, and they act like they're rebellious. You know, like there ain't any other greater rebellion in all of the world than shining the light. It's what changes darkness. It's what changes me every day. Do you know Jesus? Your darkness will be illuminated. This book's light. So we develop a relationship with it. But the big question for today is, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, he's not in the world, but we are. Are you lighting your world up? Let's pray. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this passage. I'm thankful for the light illuminated my life. God, I didn't even know how bad it was till you came in. I'm thankful for the men and the women that claim salvation and here that know you and they know the light. And now, God, we're in this world. It's dark out there. And God, we have a great responsibility of shining good news, of taking a light and make sure it gets illuminated everywhere we're at. God, would you please help your church to be confident? Lord, we need a confidence because we don't want to go against culture. We don't want to go against all that. God, I really don't want them to think I'm just that crazy. And yet, Lord, I know it's going to take a little crazy to see them come to know you. God, I pray this week that you would fire us up to shine a light. Lord, if anything, grab a little card and hand it out and just invite people and say, hey, come. And that we can take the great mystery that most people are totally ignorant of, don't have any answers to, and you'll use us to unveil this mystery in their lives. Thank you for church today, God, the music. Lord, I'm thankful for these wonderful people that I get to do life with and have church with today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.